Good morning. It's good to be with you today as we're trying Facebook out for the first time to conduct our Wednesday morning Bible study. So I want to tell you how much pleasure it gives me that you are joining us today. And I also want to thank many of you for encouraging us to do this. That says to me that we are hearing from the Lord. We are doing the things that He wants us to, as you tell us and testify the things He's doing and He's speaking to you. So let me thank you for that. That means a lot, and that is really an encouragement. I also want to tell you that at the end of today's lesson, if I want to urge you to get that to that point, and if you don't, tell you, you can go back to this and just scroll down to it. But we're going to talk in a few moments about prayer and give you a scripture that I've been using, the Lord has led me to use over and over to pray concerning COVID-19 virus. And I think you'll find it very powerful, and I think you'll find it also being a point of agreement that we can have together as we speak, and as we, one can drive 1,000, and the two, we're just going to watch all the demons run when all this group is chasing them away. So today, we're going to be reviewing first what we talked about last week in this study that we're doing, the work of Holy Spirit in me. And I'm going to try to keep saying Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, because I want us to see Him as a person, not as an it, not as a thee, but a person who dwells and lives and communicates and consults with us on a daily, hourly, and even a minute-by-minute basis. Last week, we looked at His knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Jesus told the disciples in the 14th chapter of John that I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you helpless. He also said that He was going to give us someone who would be with us forever. And what He actually said was, I'm going to give you someone just like me. So that what did we learn last week? If we want to see what Holy Spirit does for you and I, then we can look and see how Jesus guided, gave counsel, gave wisdom, demonstrated to His disciples what to do and how to do it. That's the same that we can expect from Holy Spirit. Now, we began this study by talking about seven spirits. We also talked about seven lamps, seven horns, and seven eyes. And these were found in a couple of different scriptures, three different ones in the book of Revelation. We said that the seven spirits represents the perfection, the completion of the Holy Spirit. And then lamps, horns, and eyes each represented some of the works or the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're looking at now. We went to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and we looked at verses 1 and 2, and we saw seven different areas of work or ministries or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're doing. And today, we're going to look at, last week we looked at these three. Today, we're going to talk about the fourth one, the Spirit of Counsel. But last week, we saw in Ephesians 1:17 that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, the key word there is we have that. This is not something we're going to get. This came to us with the person of the Holy Spirit. He is wisdom. This is already in us. And we're just going to see today how we bring it up, how we draw it up. We also saw in verse 18 of Ephesians 1, and I'll just say it this way, that the Lord is praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. But really, the word there is eyes of our heart would be enlightened, because we want to see in our heart. That's where revelation first comes to us. So we want to see the eyes of our heart. And you can't see in the physical realm or the spiritual realm with closed eyes. It's only through hearing and seeing with our spiritual senses that we're going to hear and discern what the Holy Spirit is telling us. I believe that the entire Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we might say the Bible is written from the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so if it's written from that way, that also says to me it's going to have to be revealed that way. We talked last week about knowledge, revelation with understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, I would define as someone who has book knowledge. They can read and quote a lot of stuff to you, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't really understand what it means. Understanding or having the knowledge revealed is when you have that aha moment. And what do you say? I see it. Well, that's exactly what the word revelation means, to pull back the curtain so that we can see and observe. And then wisdom is using that knowledge, using the understanding that the revelation has given you to act on that knowledge. And we act on it and we receive things for ourselves, but we also can act on the knowledge and the wisdom he gives us to do things for others. And that really is part what I think needs to be our focus. You look at Paul's epistles, he was always focusing on the people he was talking to, not just on himself. Now, this wisdom is something that people who aren't born again can achieve. Scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:17 that the Gentiles could not get this spiritual wisdom, walk in the futility of their mind. He's also telling us that that's not the way you and I are to walk. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's going to give us the revelation we need. And with that revelation and the knowledge, then comes wisdom. And Scripture tells us in Proverbs that wisdom is the main thing. Why? Because that's when we can begin to do what the Word says, believing the Word, acting on it, and just opens all kind of doors for us. Now, last week, we went through a number of verses in both Proverbs 2 and Proverbs 3, and I'm not going to list those. We're not going to even go through them all, but I made a note or two of a few things that we saw. And I wanted to just remind you that the first thing I wrote that we saw last week is that you need to value knowledge. You need to value understanding. And you need to be seeking and pulling out wisdom. It's the principal thing. Now, these three items, we looked in scriptures and we saw, and this is kind of a summary of them, a small summary. It says that these three will do what? They'll keep us. It'll guard us. It will deliver us. Now, everything that I've written down here is pertinent to you and I today, right in the midst of this COVID-19 virus. What did I say it would do? Keep, guard or protect, and deliver. It will also provide length of days, but not just length, a number of days. It's going to provide good days, days with peace, his peace. Healing and refreshing also comes with it, as does provision. Each of those things is things that many Americans are just spreading over today to the point that they are literally making themselves sick in fear. And I believe personally when you do that, that type of activity attracts spiritual darkness to you. And we want to stay away from there. We closed last week reading 3 John 4, which says this. John writing says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth, living life in the truth, conducting the way we live, the things we do, all based on truth. Over and over in this book, 5 times truth is used. And so I believe this is a key verse for us. This is how we are to walk, with knowledge, with understanding, and with wisdom, just as Jesus did. Now I want you to go to Proverbs 3, because I want to read a verse that we did not look at last week, that we skipped over. And the Lord has instructed me to go back and let's cover it. In the first 10 verses of chapter 3, you see all the good things that we just enumerated. If you look down in verse 13, they continue. It says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And then look at verse 11. Now, this verse is going to look out of place to you, but I'm going to tell you it's not. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Now, I read that verse and you say, why don't you go back and read 1 through 10 again? Because that sounds good. This doesn't sound good. We need to change our view on correction. One of the areas that we talked about with the Holy Spirit was what? The lamp, which reveals. And we said it would reveal the Word. But remember what we also said, that it would reveal those areas in our life, down in our spirit, that are not in alignment with where he wants us. So he's going to look in our heart. He's going to search our hearts. And he's going to point out to us things that we need to do. That's correction. Remember, he's not doing this physically as he did with the children of Israel in previous age. This is part of our new covenant. Therefore, he's dealing with us as spiritual beings, not physical beings. And I jokingly say to people, and I wish I'd known this to say to my children, that if you receive a lot of correction, know you're loved. Because that's exactly what verse 12 tells us. For whom the Lord loves, he reproved. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. So we need to desire correction because it does several things. It aligns us with his word, his counsel that we're going to be talking about today, his purpose for us. But we also know that when if we receive that from him, we are dearly, dearly loved. So with that, let's begin to talk about today's subject, the spirit of counsel. A definition. Webster Dictionary defines counsel as advice given, especially as a result of consultation. Now, I'm going to tell you that that is important because what that does is it really describes the relationship you and I have with Holy Spirit dwelling in us, talking back and forth, listening to him, asking questions of him. He's providing consultation to us. An archaic definition, and this was their words in Webster that is used, they say it's no longer applicable, yet I think it is purpose. And how many of us really want to know our purpose? The Hebrew word here is etsah, or etsah, which means advice. It also implies a plan. Now, a plan for something sounds like there's a purpose behind it. It also means prudence, which is something that says to me, I'm acting with wisdom, not in a hurry, not being pushed and shoved. That's not how the Holy Spirit works with us. And here's how it's translated. Advice, advise. Counsel, as you would expect. Counselor, and then purpose. So there's that purpose again. And that's what we all want to know. What is our purpose in life? And I believe you're going to see how the counsel of the Lord will reveal that purpose to you as you fellowship with him and as you draw it out. It's already in your heart. That's why I keep saying it. We're not asking for something we don't have. It's already in our heart, and we're going to learn today how to draw it out. Now, go back to the word counselor. Do you remember in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, about the 6th verse, it's talking about Jesus and all some of his different names. Wonderful. Counselor. There's that word. And it goes on and says, Mighty God. And that's actually one we'll look at next week as we talk about the spirit of might. But counselor. Do you see that what Jesus was telling? Remember what he told his disciples? I'm going to give you one just like me. And this is one of the prophetic names he has. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit, one just like him, is doing for you and I today. So go with me to the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. Well, you may still be there as I am. And I want to look at some verses we read last week, but I want to make a couple additional comments as it pertains to counsel, spirit of counsel. And our title for this area today, again, is His Counsel and His Purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Well, that sounds like a little bit like the verse that we read last week and we talked about earlier. Don't walk as the world walks. Don't think like the world thinks. Trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. So the implication is follow his way. Now, the part I want to point out to you here is that this is involved with getting our soul and our spirit man in alignment. So they're thinking the same things, the same ways. Because when we think like this, we can manage and control our flesh. Our flesh will not dominate us. But if my soul lines up with my flesh, then my spirit man may get ignored sometime. He'll never get dominated, but he will be ignored. So we're talking about getting ourselves to a point where we hear and act on what our spirit is telling us versus what our mind and our flesh is telling us. Now think about it. If we're following our soulish realm, then we're following our senses. The voice of the flesh is what? Feelings. The voice of the mind is reason. And that's one I've had to really battle because I like to think things out and ponder them. So what I want you to begin to see is that we need to quit saying, I can't hear the Spirit. Because all we're doing when we're saying that is we're magnifying the fact that you believe you hear your soul and your flesh in a more prominent way. And that's not what Jesus said. In John 10, verses 2 through 5, he says, my sheep hear and they know my voice. That needs to be your profession, not I can't hear. And then verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Well, in all our ways acknowledge him. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this wisdom, for giving me this counsel. I'm acting on it. I'm seeing the results. I'm grateful for it. Acknowledge him can also mean I'm looking to you for the next step. So we're constantly looking to him. Every moment of every day, you ought to expect this type of counsel from him. Remember, he counsels you with his eye upon you. We'll actually probably talk about that if we have time today again. But what I want you to see is that you don't have to quit and go fast for a week. You don't have to pray forever and ever trying to get one bit of wisdom. You don't have to put ashes and sackcloth on and just lower yourself down. What does he say? He doesn't say do all those things. He just says acknowledge him in all your ways and look at the promise. And he will make your paths straight. You may say, well, that sounds too easy. It's not that easy. Yeah, it really is. Once we get in tune with him. If Jesus lived as a man in that way, then he put aside all his deity privileges, and so can you and I. And that's what the Lord expects of us. So counsel, several different types of counsel. Let's just talk about general counsel and specific counsel. There are things that the Lord wants us to obtain from the Word of God that the Spirit will reveal that are general counsel that applies to all of us on how we live and how we do things. There's also elements of the Word that are more specific toward a teacher and what he's going to do and how he's going to be held accountable in some ways. And that still today gives me pause as I see myself looking at this camera and teaching you. But that is counsel that we get from the Word with revelation from the Holy Spirit. But most of us, we want the specific counsel. We want to be just like Ananias, who the Lord, Spirit of the Lord said to him, go to this street called Straight and you will find just 1, 2, 3. But I'm just going to be honest, that's not the way that I see the Lord directing me a lot of times. In fact, I'll say it is in the minority. And it's not uncommon when I go to the Lord for specific counsel that he'll take me back to the Word and give me some general counsel to position me to be ready to hear what he's about to ask me so that it doesn't overwhelm me. Specific counsel. Now, you're going to hear impressions and words from the Lord just like I believe I heard what he said when we came to Macon. But you also may get a specific verse. That's happened to me in that case. But I'm not sure I could have acted on that had something not happened to me almost 35 years before that. BJ and I were in our first home. We'd been in Tennessee for less than a year. Work was going well. We had an opportunity to buy a very nice first house. We lived there for a number of years. Our family was beginning to grow. And a house she found was very desirous for us. It was much larger and it provided us a school district that we really wanted the kids to be raised in. So we put our house up for sale. We watched that other house closely. We had a realtor that helped us. She calls one day and she said, someone else has made an offer on that house. Because we had made a contingent offer. She said, you have 3 days to decide. Well, we knew we had been instructed to buy it. We both felt peace about stepping out and doing it. we were a little bit surprised, thinking how things just go boom, 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 that we think, well, since God told us to do it, the house will sell quickly. It didn't. But it didn't take forever, so don't worry about me. So on the last night, I go to bed before I've got to tell her an answer the next morning. I go to sleep very peaceful, and I'm awakened in the middle of the night. And I won't say it was an audible voice, but it was just a knowing in my heart. Go look at Joshua 18:3. Now, I was by no means anywhere close to a Bible scholar. Had no clue where I was going. So I go and look at this verse, and here's what it says. How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Now, I didn't take that verse exactly literally, but I knew what he was talking about. Don't be slack in going and taking what I've given you and what you know is already yours. So we acted on it the next day. Now I have two mortgages. Well, on the very first day that I was to make a double payment, not only had my house sold, but we also closed. All the things that I had dreaded, all the things that I thought about, none came true. And this was really the first time that I got such specific direction to act on from the Lord. And it just gave me a confidence that I can hear his voice, even when I hadn't been doing a lot of things we're going to be talking about today. So that's his mercy. That's his kindness. That's his love. And if he's done it for me, you can bet he'll do it for you. So we've got to take that first step because we don't know the second and third step. We've got to know the principles because the Lord's not going to lead us in a direction contrary to his word. When we do that, then we know we're going to be led on what? The right path. It's going to be a good time for us. The right things to do. So with that, let's go to Proverbs 20. And we're going to talk about his counsel. We're going to look at the fifth verse in the 20th chapter of Proverbs. A plan in the heart of man. Now, this notice the words here. A plan in the heart of man. Not my head. Not my plan in my head. A plan in my heart. Who put it there? I believe that's talking about one the Spirit has revealed to us. His counsel is like deep water. Well, what does that mean? Well, to me, it says two things. That it's deep, and so I'm going to have to come up with some way to pull that counsel up and understand all there is to know about that plan. But it also says to me, if it's deep water, that means there's an abundance of it. And therefore, he's got counsel for you. He has a plan for you. Everything you need to know. Now, where is this counsel? It's down in our heart and it's deep. So look at the next verse. It tells us what we're going to have to do. It says, but a man of understanding draws it out. Well, I want to be a man of understanding. So I looked up this word, and it was candidly not what I expected. This word in the Hebrew means to separate. It means intelligence. It infers intelligence. And as I read this, I said, well, Lord, talk to me about this. And what I heard, don't mean an audible voice, but that what he's talking about, a man of understanding, is one with a type of intelligence. But it's not earthly intelligence. It's what? Supernatural revelation. And that's what we should come to expect. Now you say, well, did you do anything to draw it out? Well, probably in that case, no. He was very merciful to me. But there have been other times, particularly as it pertained to the move to Macon, where we've sought the Lord. We've prayed in the Spirit a lot. We did things that built ourselves up, that tuned us into the Spirit. We spent time fellowshipping with the Father in his presence, with his word. And all those things really put you in a position to hear. So I would encourage you to do that. But again, your expectation should be when you start this and acknowledge him in all your ways, he's going to do that for you. One thing that I want to just point out, if you ever feel pressure to act, I don't believe that's the way the Spirit operates. He's not going to force his counsel upon you. That's going to be your enemy who is putting pressure on you, trying to get you to focus on different things to take you in a direction that is contrary to what the Lord knows. Now go with me to Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Isaiah chapter 12. We're going to look at the first three verses. Then you will say on that day, well, what day is that talking about? This time, this age that we live in, the church age. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, for you are angry with me and your anger is turned away. Now remember, he dealt with the people of old in their flesh. All this anger has been directed at Jesus because he took all the sin that bothered him, bothered the Father so much. And what does he tell us also in Isaiah? That he's not angry with us. He's not wroth with us anymore. So put that behind you. And then he says, behold, God is my salvation. Now, salvation in the Old Testament, as the New, has a plethora of meanings. It not only means we've been made righteous with his righteousness, it not only means we've been delivered, we've been redeemed, but it also means that peace is ours, that healing is ours, and that provision is ours. All that we need to walk in the fullness of what has been provided on the work of the cross in the work of salvation from Jesus. Therefore, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. That kind of sounds like I'm in a good place, doesn't it? Now let's look at verse 3. That's the place we want to get to. That's who we want to acknowledge that Holy Spirit is in us. So that, verse 3, therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Now you're saying, well, what does that have to do with counsel? Counsel is one of the benefits of your salvation because it's one of the works of the Holy Spirit or the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life. And he comes also with salvation. So we draw that counsel up. And how do we do it? With joy. With joy. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9, I won't turn there to read it to you, but it talks about when we were born again, we believed, and then it says we received. But there's something that went on in between there. It talks about we felt and perceived joy inexpressible and full of glory. So what are we seeing? It's like joy is the bridge between believing and receiving. Now, joy is that important to you and I. It is a force in the spirit realm that we dwell in, the being we are. And I have found that it's very difficult to draw counsel from the Lord when I'm overwhelmed by all that comes against me. David in 1 Samuel 30 is a good example of that. And you can go back and read the first 8 verses sometime. They're coming back from an encounter, he and his army. They see smoke. They know that's their city. And they get there and discover everything's been taken. Wives, all their riches, children, everything. And they all cried. It said David cried until he could cry no more. And then the men got angry at David. So now the devil's just piling it on him. But what does he do? This is what we need to do when these kind of things come. He puts on the ephod. In other words, he put on his priestly robe and he stepped into the presence of the Lord and he sought counsel from him what to do. And when he did, he got it. And you know the end of that story. They returned everything that was taken. Family and all the wealth that had been stolen from them. So don't let Satan pressure you so much that you can't move, that it paralyzes you. Go to Colossians 1 with me. I want to make one point. We're not going to read all the verses that are probably in your notes, but I do want to read verse 12. Actually, verse 11. Verse 11 says, we've been strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And if we stop there, we would say, good, I can get to go do a lot of miracles. I can see things happen. And yes, that's what the Lord wants us to do. But finish this verse. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So what he's saying is, I'm going to give you power to stand, to be patient. And when you've stood, I'm going to give you patience to stay more. And if you've taken ground, I'm going to give you endurance to not give that ground up. That's the power he's giving us. Now, go back and look at that verse again and look at the last word in verse 11. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the obtaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously. So we can be joyous when all these things are coming against us because we know we're just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We can speak to the devil. We know how this turns out. And this is the counsel that the Lord wants you to have. This is part of what he's telling us is to change your attitude sometimes, and then you're going to get yourself back in a position. But I want you to know you can stay built up in this so that you don't get knocked down and have to go put on the ephod. Don't take it off. Stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Thus look now at a number of verses about counsel. And so go to Psalms 1 with me. Now, as you're going to Psalms 1, I'm going to tell you why we're going to read these verses. Many of us still have a hard time believing that the Lord has enough interest in us individually that he wants to give us this type of counsel and direction. And we must believe that he wants us to have it, that it's ours. And we do that when we pursue him, as you're about to see. Look what he says about counsel. Verse 1, Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Well, that sounds like what we've read earlier, talked about earlier. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, my delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates, with the Holy Spirit, I might add, for us today, day and night. Now, when we do those things, I want you to see what we should expect. We need to have high expectations that when we follow his counsel, good things are beginning to happen. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. If you're by streams, that means you're near the power. And look what the tree does. Yields its fruit in its season. How about if we say much fruit? More fruit. Also, fruit of the Spirit. Those things that really indicate our spiritual maturity. And look at what else it says. And its leaf does not wither. And this counsel says that when we walk in it, in whatever we do, we prosper. That's what you and I need to expect. Let's go on to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Now, in other translations, this verse says that his reins, that my reins counsel me, my inner being, the word for reins there, R-E-I-N-S, in King James, literally means kidneys. So it's talking about that inner being where that spirit is dwelling in you. That's where this counsel is coming from. And then it says, my mind instructs me in the night. Now, I don't know about you, but the times where I seem to hear most clearly some things from the Lord are in the morning when I'm waking up and my mind hasn't taken control of my thought processes fully, and I can still sense or perceive the Lord talking to me in my spirit. That's my favorite time of the day, is when I'm kind of halfway in and halfway out of sleep. I really feel like I get more from the Lord in those times than most. And then look at verse 8. Indeed, I have set the Lord continually before me. So we're having FaceTime with him. Now, some of you smile like I do when I think about FaceTime because I get to see my grandkids on the other end. As I'm looking at you, I get to see them in the device that I'm looking at. That's the kind of FaceTime. That's the kind of joy we should have in the presence of God, just like we do with our children and our grandchildren. So I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. Now, I remember the first time I really read that verse and pondered it. Wait a minute. I thought I'm at his right hand. Well, if I'm at his right hand and he's at my right hand, what are we doing? We're face to face with each other. as we would approach someone and reach out and shake their hand. I know that's not allowed in today's COVID environment. What are we doing? We are face to face with him. So because he is face to face with me, I will not be shaken. In other words, no fear, none whatsoever. So when I'm walking in his counsel, I don't need to fear the result of what's going to happen because I have his promise on the matter. Psalm 73. And we're going to look at two verses here, 23 and 24. Does this sound like the Holy Spirit? Let me say that differently. Does this sound like Holy Spirit in you? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel, thou wilt guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Now, we don't have to wait to enjoy the benefits of this eternal life we've got. The eternal life started when we were born again, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. Dewey Rain says, you've held me by your right hand, and by thy will you have conducted me. That's the word he used for counsels. In other words, he's just orchestrated everything, just as a conductor orchestrates everything that his orchestra does. And with thy glory thou hast received me. Let's look at another one, Proverbs 8. Proverbs the 8th chapter, the 14th verse. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. Sounds all like attributes of the Lord, doesn't it? Look at verse 17. So he's talked about himself. This is who I am. This is what I possess. And then he says, I love those who love me. Well, we know that. We love him because he first loved us. And the second part of that verse, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So if we read that, then we can say, I love you, Lord. I know you love me. And I know when I diligently seek your counsel, that I'm going to find what? Your counsel. So we've got that promise. Look at also in Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, the 20th verse. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. So we've gone full circle now, haven't we? Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. So we see counsel and what? Wisdom there together. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. So we might have a lot of ideas, but it's his counsel that's really going to direct us in what we're to be doing in the timing we're supposed to be doing it as well. And what does it say there? His counsel will stand. In other words, it will be confirmed. And the last one in the Old Testament in this series or this section of the teaching is Psalms 33. And this one sums it up. Psalms 33. Let's start at verse 9. And verse 11 is really the one we want to focus on. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded it. It stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of peoples. So here we are today with a lot of this COVID stuff coming. And this tells me that we're not looking to people because that's not our enemy. Our enemy is spiritual. So we actually have a promise here that says the counsel that the spirits of darkness have proposed against us, we can pray this verse and it says the Lord will nullify those counsels, frustrate their plans. And then verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. That's how we can know that it is his counsel and his desire for us to be well and protected during this time. The plans of his heart are from generation to generation. So he's desiring that not only we, but our children and our grandchildren walk in the loving kindness, in his loving kindness, in his plans. And then I'll just like to read verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified, and I'm going to do it only because it's a long segment of Scripture. This is talking about Abraham, and certainly we understand the purpose that Abraham played in God's plans. And we look to Abraham as the father of our faith. And so just think about plans and purpose as I read this. For when God made his promise to Abraham, he really was revealing his plan and his purpose. He swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom he could swear. So this is Hebrews 6:13, verse 14, saying, blessing, I will certainly bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so it was that Abraham, and look what he did, and I hope he did it joyously, having waited long and endured patiently, realized and obtained in the birth of Isaac as a pledge of what was to come. In other words, Jesus for us, what God had promised him. The plan that God laid out for him, he persevered, and it came to pass. Verse 16, men indeed swear by a greater than themselves, and with all in disputes, the oath taken for confirmation is the final one, ending strife. According to God, accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt, now this is a part I really want us to focus on, to those who were to inherit the promise of the unchangeableness of his purpose and his plan. That's us. Those of us who are partaking of what the Lord Jesus purchased as we approach Resurrection Sunday in a few weeks, that plan and that purpose is realized in you and I. Now I want us to go down to verse 19. It says, now we have this hope, the hope of the promise, the hope of the purpose, his plan, as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it, a hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil, which is what Jesus did for us as our forerunner. This plan was his purpose. Just as Abraham waited for Isaac, 2,000 years ago, he gave his son so that this purpose is made available to you and I. And Jesus has become our hope. So when we walk in his path, I like to think of it this way, that I'm walking in my wealthy place. That's place where he's got provision already well there waiting for me and the assignment to do what I need to do there as well. Now, I want to move quickly through three verses that some may throw up to you sometime as a contradiction in what we've talked about, seeking the wisdom of the Lord. Proverbs 11:14. Let me just read these quickly. Don't turn there, please. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise guidance, you will wage war. And in abundance of counselors, there is victory. So what do we seem to see in this? We seem to say, well, you need to just go talk to everybody and find out what the best thing to do is. So how do we interpret these verses in light of all the scriptures we saw? Well, I believe we've been separated from the world. So when it's talking here about counselors and safety, it's not just talking about people in the world. It's talking about people who have been separated unto God as we have, who have good skills in this earth on the matters that you're interested in. So what I think he's saying here is seek counsel from those who have worldly smarts, but they also hear my voice. Now that's really what he told Saul to do. But Saul didn't do that. He told him, stay away from foreign women. But he took them in as his wives. He sought their counsel, and where did he end up? Forsaking God and worshiping the gods that they had. So it does matter who you hang with. It does matter who you seek counsel on. And we all are blessed, if we'll pursue and think about it, to have people in our lives that we can go to when tough situations come I refer to mine as my faith buddies. I can go to them to seek their counsel on this matter when I'm having some difficulty or can't seem to just get it all clear in my heart what I'm to do and how I'm to do it. Now, Isaiah 40 tells us, no person, and this is verse 13 and 14, no person, no man can teach or give counsel to the Holy Spirit. One thing this says to me is I don't need to think my plans are better than his. It also says that the one who knows the most needs to be doing more of the talking, and that's not me. So let the Holy Spirit disclose what Jesus is saying to him about you. And he's talking about you because Psalm 32:8 says he's guiding us or he's counseling us with what? His eye upon you at all times. Psalm 119, verse 24, talks about the word. And I just like to go back there because quite often when I get counsel, I also ask the Lord to show me give me some insight in the word that affirms this. And this verse does this so beautifully. Verse 24 of Psalm 119. Thy testimonies, talking about the word of God, thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. So when we need wisdom, get the word out. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you what you need to counsel you and get you to the point where you're ready to receive what he's asked you to do. And when you do this, expect it to happen as you acknowledge him in all his ways. So now I'd like to just unplug that and take a few minutes and talk to you about what's going on with this COVID-19 virus. Many of you, as me, have probably spent a lot of time praying about it. And yet I've had a lot of people who have said, how do I pray? I'm not sure what to pray. A lot of people are praying, please, 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 God, you got to do this. And a lot of people are praying about judgment. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't sense that this is judgment on his church at all. But I will say that it is important that the church respond to this appropriately because we are not only his hands and his feet in the earth, we're also his mouth. And that's what needs to be activated more than our hands and feet right now, or as much as our hands and feet, our mouth. Look with me at Numbers, the 16th chapter. Numbers 16 is an account where Aaron is involved with some instruction that Moses gives him. It's happening the day after Korah and a bunch of the folks had rebelled against Moses. The earth opened up and swallowed them. There were some people in the children of Israel who were taken aback and they remained silent. They should have been very thankful to God that they didn't get involved in it. But as they thought about it all night, it must have aggravated them because the next day they come at Moses. And I'm going to pick up here in verse 46 because the Lord tells Moses as they're coming with him, it made him mad. It made the Lord mad. Because what do we know? When they attacked Moses, the Lord said, you're coming against me. And Moses got some instruction and he said to Aaron. Now, who was Aaron? The high priest at this time. Take your censer and put in it fire from the altar and lay incense on it. And then bring it quickly to the congregation to make atonement for them. Skip down to 47. Then Aaron took it, as Moses had spoken, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. In 48, and he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. Some translations say stayed. So what is this showing us? Well, Aaron was the high priest. We have a high priest who is in heaven. He has us as what? His priest here on the earth. We were made to be priests, but not only priests, but kings and priests. So let's look at what Aaron did. because I think we as his body ought to do the same thing. Take your censer and put in it fire from the altar. What did that fire represent? The presence of God, the very Holy Spirit that dwells in you, the person of Holy Spirit dwelling in us, represented by that fire. So he puts it so he can carry it with him. So the Spirit's going with him. And then he tells him to put the incense in. Now, what do we know in Scripture? The Lord says, your prayers are what? Sweet smelling, a sweet aroma to me. So he's going and telling Aaron, you go stand in my presence between my people and death, or we might say in this case, the coronavirus. And when he did that, what happened? The plague was checked or stayed. The Lord showed me this as we began to pray almost 2 weeks ago tomorrow in healing school, before healing school session. Several of us were praying. And the Lord showed me this when he said, this is how I want you praying against this. Now we say, well, he went out in their midst. Again, you're physical. You're not a physical being. You're a spiritual being. So he had to get out in the middle of them because that's where the Lord interacted with them. We also see that in another illustration in Nehemiah. And I won't turn there, but in 3, in verse 28, finally, in a couple of places before that, it talks about how the people went and the priests were building the wall. But 28 says they built it in front of their own home. Well, what is a wall? It was protection. That's what Aaron was becoming against this enemy. That's what I believe the Lord wants us to be, is a people of protection as his priest and his kings with authority to speak on it. As we go stand in front of the people, certainly our families, our children, our grandchildren, maybe for some of you, great-grandchildren, and also, I believe, for the lost. Because can you imagine how those who were having a tough time trusting God when he went and stood in between them, how they reacted when they saw the miracle that the plague didn't come past him? We can stand in the spirit realm in that same way, and we can speak to that virus knowing what? Jesus spoke to virus. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to trees. He spoke to the wind and waves. So we know they can hear. But again, our enemies aren't just things like viruses that are resident in this earth. We're also coming against principalities and powers in the atmosphere. And so we can also stand between those and people, and we be the protection as we build up that wall before them and prohibit it from coming in to where we are and to where our loved ones are. Now, in order to pray, you got to know it's his will. Well, we could study scriptures from now until this time next week on healing. So we know healing is his will. And what does 1 John tell us? That if we know his will, then we know that when we ask, we know he hears us. And we know if he hears us, then he's going to grant the petition that we're requesting. Now, the word there, ask, is a Greek word which means I'm submitting a requisition. It's like I'm submitting a requisition, knowing that you're going to give me what is on this requisition, knowing you're going to give me these items to go do the job that I need to do. So today, if you don't mind, how about joining me and let's pray? I'll pray. You can be praying out loud. And let's take the presence of God that dwells in us, the authority that we have as believers, as Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I'm part of his body. And we go stand out in the spirit realm before people, before cities, our Jerusalem here in Macon, Bibb County, Middle Georgia area, where they put everything on lockdown. Let's go take our stand in the spirit, and let's put an end to this. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't know that I can believe to put an end to it. Well, let me just tell you, I've learned some things about prayer during my time with the Lord. And one thing a friend told me about a situation with 9/11 was they knew it was coming, but they couldn't stop it. And he said, I couldn't stop it, but I did impact it such that it wasn't nearly the negative impact. Think of how many people could have been killed in those towers that day. Yet a small number, not insignificant, particularly if they're your loved ones. But I just want to encourage you with this, that we can have an impact. We can make a difference. So pray with me. Father, you tell us that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, and that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. This virus is stealing, it's killing, and it's destroying. Therefore, with great confidence, we can come before you and we can speak as we submit our requisition, saying to this enemy of COVID-19, you be still, you be stayed, you be checked in Jesus' name. Stop now. You will not penetrate the areas that we're praying for. Our families, Middle Georgia area, believers, and we're standing in the gap, Father, for those who don't believe. And spirits in the atmosphere that are devising plans, we've seen today scriptures that say he will frustrate your plans. So we call those plans being frustrated, exposed, and we say they are bound in Jesus' name. And what we bind in heaven, we know is bound on earth. Thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege of representing you in this earth. And we say, we have the victory. It is ours, and it won't take all the months that all the naysayers are saying. And I ask you, Lord, to make it so profound that they look at it and say, must have been the hand of the Lord that protected us. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask and that we believe we received. And we say, amen, so be it. We'll see you again next week on Wednesday morning. Bless you.